This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Let us pray. God, keep us on the narrow way. You alone can do it. When we want to go some other way, keep us at whatever costs. Keep us with you and constantly fit us for service, for work with you in your wonderful world. In our need for power, direct us outward, towards neighbor, not to power over or control, but to serve. Direct us upward to our higher potential, to new spiritual levels that transcend our ordinariness, to become fully human. Direct us forward beyond horizons of smaller visions where new hope, promise, and new births can transform us. Direct us inward, where your Spirit may minister to us in the deeper places of our hearts. Lead us to deep interior reserves of power that lie within us all, for our greatest power is within, where resides your truth, your faith, your love. Amen. Please be seated. A man goes on a journey and he is attacked by robbers, beaten up, and left half dead. What a consoling gospel for the parents of our pilgrims who leave tomorrow. Last week, we had a girl who was in this congregation whose name was Carly McCaig. We come a week later, and now she is Carly Mazur. Carly, who grew up in this church, got married. This week, we said goodbye to Betty Loper. Hard to imagine, Betty has gone to heaven. Life changes quickly. We need to treasure each and every day. Eternal life is more for us right now about how we choose to spend each hour, each day. And that truly is what this gospel is about. To sort of set the stage for what I'd like to talk about today, there's a new movie that has come out starring Robert Duvall, and it's called Get Low. What happens in this movie is Robert Duvall plays this sort of wanderer, lonely guy who's sort of an outcast from society, lives on the edge of the town, and there's all sorts of rumors and innuendos that the townspeople talk about why this man is sort of an outcast. Well, one day he decides to come into the town to talk to the priest. And this clip shows the conversation, surprisingly, that starts the whole movie off.
About time for me to get low.
To get what?
Down to business.
Yeah.
I need a funeral.
For whom?
Me.
For you. You want to buy a funeral for you?
Am I not talking right?
I'm sorry, sir. Are you sick?
Everybody dies.
All right. I see. Well, sir, the church can help you get your affairs in order. Arrange a service for you.
Well, what would you say?
About what?
Me.
Eulogy. Well, I don't know. What do you want me to say?
Say what you say right now to my face.
Mr. Bush, I don't know much about you. I've heard stories.
What stories?
Stories, you know. People talk.
What kind of story? Second one.
Well, sir, my mother used to say that gossip is the devil's radio.
Mm-hmm.
What matters is that when you come to the end of your life, that you're ready for the next one. Now, have you made peace with God, sir?
I paid.
Mr. Bush, you can't buy forgiveness. It's free, but you do have to ask for it.
What he put down on the pew by the priest was a wad of money. At this point in the movie, it seems like he's trying to buy his way into heaven. And that's exactly what seems to be going on in the parable today. We all know this parable. It is the most popular, most widely understood parable in the whole Bible. We use that phrase all the time, a good Samaritan. But let's concentrate upon what really is the focus of this. It's the guy who comes to Jesus, the lawyer. Now, the translation that he's a lawyer really doesn't capture who he is. He's a scripture scholar. He's an expert in the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Bible. You know, we heard the reading from Deuteronomy. He'd have known that by heart. That's why he quotes it. And then he adds that little tagline on the end of all that. Love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Oh, and your neighbor as yourself. That comes from Leviticus, the other book he would have memorized as well. This man knew the Bible. But the problem is what he's doing here is then he goes on, and the whole clue to this is he says, and then he said, to justify himself. Who is my neighbor, Jesus? Now, when we put it in those terms, it seems that this is a pretty silly thing that he is asking. But when I think about it in terms of my own life, and I'm sure in places in your own lives, you know, we do the same thing. What he is doing is saying, Jesus, what are the boundaries? What's the minimum I got to do to make sure I get in? Tell me the minimum number and the minimum type of people I got to love. He's trying, just like the man in the movie, to sort of figure out how I earn or buy my way in. He's making these boundaries that don't exist. Jesus, if you notice, never answers the question, who is my neighbor? He turns around and asks him a question at the end of the story, how can we be neighbor to other people? See, what's going on is the lawyer is trying to put boundaries and limit it, where Jesus is trying to bring him through the parable to think just the opposite. Don't think about how few people I'm called to love. Think about how many more I might be able to love. I'm sure you're familiar, I quote Rick Warren a lot, because he has a real gift for sort of putting things practically down to earth that we can manage in our lives. And in relation to this story, he talks about EGRs. And I heard him talk about EGRs as, what the heck is an EGR? And he explains it, an EGR is a person who has extra grace required. The difficult people that we find in our lives. And he makes the side comment that he thinks one in every three people is an EGR. So if you look to the left of you and to the right of you, and that's not an EGR, guess what? You know, there are those people in our lives that we just love, and we just want to be around them, and we just want to spend all our time with them. But then there's this whole group over here that we say, oh man, let's just leave them over there. And then there's this whole group over here, oh no, they're so draining. And this is what this guy is doing. Jesus, okay, here's where I want to be. Now, is it seven? Okay, I'll just love these seven. Is that going to get me in? It's like a checklist, you know? What's on the exam? What's on the final exam? And so this is what is going on here. Now, it's important for us to get the true context of this story. You know, I'm a priest, and the priest, you know, he looks like the bad guy in this story. I feel like I always have to defend the priest in this one. But understand the context of what's going on. The priest and the Levite, these guys have a similar job. Now remember from the other stories in the scripture, like Zechariah, remember when Zechariah got to go and offer the incense at the altar? It was like a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity for him to do that. You know, a lot of times in those days, when you finally got the opportunity to do that, it might be the only time in your entire life you did it. They didn't have four services on a weekend and you got to do all four. No, didn't work that way. So think about this. Something you might have looked forward to for your entire adult life, if not further, you finally got to do it, and you are so focused on that, you've looked forward to this forever, and suddenly, here's this guy who needs help. What am I going to do? Am I going to give up that which I've looked forward to forever? Or am I just going to go forward? Not so black and white anymore, is it? And I think Jesus would use those two characters, not only because of their image in society, but to help us to understand something in terms that it's not always black and white, these decisions. They weren't doing bad things instead of good things. It was a question of what's the greater good. Now the point here is the only way we in our lives are going to continue to be able to discern God's Spirit and what we should be doing in our lives is if we are listening for the voice of God on a constant basis. It's not something that we can pull out of our hat once in a while. Okay, God, I haven't talked to you in a while. Tell me what to do here. It is through the constant timing of our prayer, pray always, as Jesus says, that will enable us to discern what God would have us do in each situation. That's the important point there. Then there is another important point. You know, we've talked about this road. We've talked about Jerusalem, Jericho, 17 miles, elevation coming way down. There are turns in the road. There are cliffs. It was in that day the common place where thieves would hang out and robbers. It would have been a common ploy to pretend that you are half dead. Somebody goes to help you. You jump up with a knife, or your buddy jumps from behind and robs the person who's trying to help. This was the reality. There is a real fear that would have existed in that priest and that Levite, a caution at least as to what is going on. So the story gets a little bit more complex. Then comes the Samaritan. Now remember the Samaritan. Jews hated Samaritans. When the Assyrians came and took most of the Jewish people away who are of high society type, there was a group of people who stayed behind. And these people that stayed behind started to intermarry with other cultures, and they became the Samaritans. It came time to rebuild the temple. The Samaritans, they built their own temple on Mount Gerizim, not in Jerusalem. So there is this just hatred between these two groups. The Jews hated the Samaritans. So for Jesus to use the Samaritan as the hero of the story, juxtaposed against this scripture scholar, this pure Jew, it's another one of these Lucan juxtapositions that just, you know, is so over-exaggerated. As much as possible. But the Samaritan comes along and does what the Samaritan does. The other point I want to bring out in this story is this. The priest and the Levite, and fill in any profession there you want, they were in a hurry. They had things on their mind and their heart. And part of what they end up deciding to do has to do with the hurried nature of their lives. We can run around and get so busy, and we can run around and have so many things going on that we can miss the opportunities that God might put before us to be the one who ministers to someone else. Chances are we're not going to find somebody who's half dead physically. But there are tons of people who are going to come into our lives who are half dead spiritually, emotionally, psychologically. The world has beaten people up. And if we are not able to be available ever, we are going to be just like those first two who just walk on by. Remember some time ago, I told you about taking a course from Dallas Willard, who's written these theology and spiritual books and philosophy books, and he is, in the Protestant world, one of the most famous current theologians. And when we're in this class, towards the end of the class, he gives us the opportunity to ask him any questions, and somebody raised their hand and said, "You have told us so much stuff. Just tell me," he's sounding like the guy in the parable, in the story today. He says, "Just tell me the most important thing you want us to leave here with." Without batting an eye, Professor Willard says, "Eliminate needless hurry from your life." Now, here is a man who has pastors, ministers, priests, lay leaders from all over the world sitting in his classroom. And this is what he chooses to tell them. Eliminate needless hurry from your life. Maybe that's what happened to the priest and the Levite in this story. I know the hectic pace we in our lives run in this day and age. Perhaps one of the things this story can do for us is to help us to look a little bit about the priorities in our life and maybe just to step back and slow down so that we don't miss those opportunities to be neighbor to somebody else. I think today, with this viewpoint on the story, perhaps this is what our prayer should be like. God, help me not to try to put boundaries upon what you are calling me to do, but open my eyes and my heart so that I can see the bounty that you offer before me. Help me not to try to limit who I love, but help me to open my heart so that I might be more loving, more neighborly to all people. If we do that, the changes we have in our lives will be ones we will greet with great joy. We don't have to worry about earning our way anywhere. Amen.